Monday, February 24, 2020, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1:40 p.m.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Get me back a seal.
I think I left mine. Thank you. Thank you. Let's left it on the table. A copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted in the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for all to review by all citizens in attendance. We'll take roll.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
We'll start with public comment. If anybody has anything that they want to comment on other than what's on the agenda, now would be the time to come forward. All right. Don't believe we have any public comment today. We'll go to consent agenda items. The minutes from February 10th, 2020. Accounts payable. Janet came in this morning, and her and I went through the accounts payable. Everything seemed to be in order. Approval of official reports, the clerk's register of deeds, clerk of district court. And then approval of treasurer's office journal entry collections of $80 from 2910 E911 surcharge fund to the 2350 stop fund.
I'll make a motion to accept the consent agenda items.
Second.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. New business, the board to approve payroll claims from February 9th to February 22nd, 2020. Did sit down and go through payroll claims. There were a couple of issues pointed out to me, and those were addressed. We did talk to a member of the sheriff's office over there, and they went and had a few changes that they made. So at the end of the day, everything appeared to be in order.
Okay. Make the motion to approve the payroll claims.
I'll second that.
Kevin?
I'll abstain.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Board to approve chair to sign the Cigna Network service agreement for renewal of the county health care benefit plan. So that would be signing our new benefit plan that we discussed at our last meeting.
Yeah.
Is it both? Is it? There's two documents here. It looks to me like one of them's the network service agreement, and the other one's the Cigna LifeSource Network Access Payer Access Agreement. Just curious, is that, do we typically have two documents that they sign off on?
I don't know.
I think this is kind of a first shot here.
Did you even have a chance to look at that?
No, I've been doing separate cores.
Okay. So basically, the first one looks to me like something about finding the payment process. More about specific services. Maybe it's just what's normal. I don't know, but it's just kind of unusual to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see it last year. I mean, this is.
Did I send you the cover letter?
Yeah, the cover letter was the email. Oh, yeah. I didn't print it out.
Share that with Kim. Both read that together.
Okay. The network service and the customer agreement. say? Well, that doesn't sound like the thing that we're signing, though. Network service agreement and the customer agreement is the payer access agreement. I mean, the title of this agreement doesn't match this. I don't know. Did they send us the right agreement? That's what I guess maybe my question.
What do you think?
Doesn't look like it. Got the network service agreement, but not the customer agreement, unless that's this, which is not called that.
Well, if we're not comfortable with that, you know, we probably get that information from them and make sure that is right. Does it need to be signed by any particular time, Joan?
By the first of the month.
Is it the type of deal where we could take just a couple of minutes and make a phone call? Let's go ahead and do that. Let's take...
Call this Brad guy?
Do I hit this
one? No, I would call Amy.
Okay.
I was also asked by an employee. They were under the assumption that any changes to our medical had to be a mutual agreement with the union per contract.
Mm-hmm. I know that they looked into that a little bit, and it appears that, you know, there's still a policy, and they still cover health, and they still cover dental, and they still cover everything. So I guess the understanding that we had was that is not the case.
Okay. Yeah. The way it was posed to me is that if it changes any of the fees, that do we need to get a agreement, since it will be financially negatively impacting certain numbers?
I don't know that it does change that sheet that's attached. If it does, I'm not aware of what it changes.
Because one of the questions was because of the
the deductible sheet. Contract. I don't know that it does change that.
So one of the questions was the high price insurance definitely changes the insurance for some of the employees.
That's for Amy.
Color ID.
Good afternoon, Three Rivers.
Hi, this is Kevin Rohde with Dakota County Board of Commissioners. Uh-huh. Is Amy available?
Not right now. She should be back probably in about 20 minutes or so.
Okay.
She can help us with.
Is there someone in the office that could help us with a question on our network service agreement?
Sure. Your network, as in like Blue's Choice?
It's going to Cigna is going to be our new carrier, it looks
right.
Like.
Okay, right, as of 3-1, I believe it is, yes.
Yes. Janet, do you want to?
Yeah, I was just, particularly the second document we've added on here doesn't tie to the cover letter. The cover letter says customer agreement, and the agreement that's attached is LifeSource Network Access, Payer Access Agreement. I'm wondering if we even got the right contract here.
That is probably going to be something that Amy's going to have to help you with. I don't have copies of those contracts. I can have her give you a call as soon as she gets in, or you can call back in about 20 minutes.
Can we table this for
we'll call back.
Like, or she can call her. Is there a phone number for this?
2190. Right?
Yes.
We can call back in 20 minutes, or she can call us.
Let's call her back in 20 minutes.
Okay. Let's call her back in.
Okay.
Did you hear that? We'll give her a call back in about 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. I'll let her know to accept your call.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. Did I hit the blue
button? Well,
it's
not
a good question.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And the subject matter seems unusual to me as well, honestly.
All right, we're going to go ahead and table that for a little while. We'll give her a holler back in about 20 minutes and see what we come up with. Board to approve chair to sign the plan document amendment for County of Dakota Group 3007 for the provision of calendar year deductible. And those were the deductibles that were negotiated a couple years ago over a three-year period. And it just shows the deductible for singles will go up to 1,000, family will go up to 2,000. And it's the document that we have before us.
Is that the one you were asking a question about, Kevin?
No, not the deductibles. Okay. The change to Cigna and the high price medication.
What did that have to do with the coverage? I didn't think we changed any coverage for the employee.
They were under the understanding that any change to the medical had to be a mutual agreement. So any change at all, any change in deductibles, any change in any costs, if we don't provide the same level of coverage, it is a change.
Well, did we reduce the coverage somewhat?
Yes. The high price medication, we definitely changed that. Because if you've gone from paying a $25 copay to now having to pay 20% of a prescription and you're paying $200, that's definitely a change. And that's a change for the negative. So that's where their concern was at, and I told them that I would bring it up. I mean, it was a decision that, like, you know, it's a lesser of two evils, mm-hmm. but it's still a change.
And it's in the agreement. So it's got to be honored in this. Lord, I know.
So on this,
but this document has already been agreed upon.
Yeah.
So we're fine with this one.
Oh yeah.
So.
So the deductibles went up. It's just the premiums changed as well. Or just the,
I don't think so.
Just
the premiums didn't change.
Well, I don't think so.
Just the.
We negotiated the deductibles, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. So two years ago, that
and
was.
And that's attached on the back of the contract.
Yeah. And this is the last step in the agreement that we have. So this step will go for one more year, and then it'll be renegotiated.
Yeah, I think we're good with this part. So I'll make a motion for us to approve the plan document amendment. For new business item C.
I'd second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yeah.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
All right, we'll go to Fred Kellogg for our county road report.
February 9th through the 22nd, 187 hours of road maintenance, overtime, hour and a half, debris removal, 5 hours, garbage pickup, 36, salt, sand, and snow removal, 160 hours, no gravel hauled, sign repair, 75 hours. We've been doing a lot of our retroflectometer type replacement on our signs that don't meet. Anyway, that's why there's so many 78 hours on that. I did have a call on snow removal that didn't make the list on 210th Street, but other than that, no road concerns.
No road concerns. That's great.
That was one of those where we were supposed to get a dusting and wound up with about 4.5 inches of snow.
I got a little more of it.
Big dust.
At least there wasn't a 50 mile an hour wind with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty good report, Fred.
Right. Thanks, Fred.
Thank you.
Next, we have Carol Larbit, Extension Educator, University of Nebraska, presenting the board. Local Extension Programming 2019-2020 Financial Summary.
Well, I'm excited to be here today to get a brag on everybody in my office just a minute here. I know you've heard Brenda with the Voices for Food. She was over not too long ago to talk about that. We do a lot of youth programming also in the area of STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, and some of the arts, and a whole variety of other things coming up is the garden show. We have a conference for child care providers, do a lot of teaching on food safety, just a whole smattering of things. So yearly, we are to do a report for you, and so that's what this packet is. So the first page after the letter just tells you what's in it. Then it has what we've spent in detail the past year. The next is a form that you guys have seen that you give us on expenditures and our budget. The page following that is a colored page that is that says Nebraska Extension, our focus. So you can kind of see what we're focusing on as far as the whole state goes. We don't have somebody in our office that does every single one of them, but we have somebody in Nebraska Extension fairly close by that does work in that area. And so, like BEEF, Learning Child, Community Environment, I work in the area of Food, Nutrition, and Health. Brenda Sale, who came with the Voices for Food, also works in that area. We have two people that are in our office that work in 4-H and Youth Development. One is a grant person, and the other one is a person that is not grant funded. So the next page is who those people are. We have had one retirement off of this page, and that position is open. That's John Wilson in Cropping and Water Systems. And I believe there's two more that may be coming later in this year to be replaced. The next page is just a little bit about what we do, and on the back side we highlighted three programs from last year. Then I'm guessing Brenda probably brought over this Voices for Food impact statement. It's on both sides. Then each of the four of us that are located in the office, we have a one-pager that kind of tells a little bit about some highlights from our year. And then there's a red sheet, and after that is samples of programs, brochures. I think there's a news release in there. There's a 4-H newsletter. There's garden show things. So just a smattering of things that I could find to be able to give you an idea of what we do. If at any point in time you have any questions of us, please ask. Or if you want to come over and visit with any of us in particular, please do that. Any thoughts?
When somebody retired from the board, how do you replace it? I mean, just appointee, how do you do it?
Well, the person that is retiring, just like I am, I'm employed by the University of Nebraska.
Okay.
And so they have a process that they go through. They have to make a new job description. They have to put it out for so long. They have to have a committee that looks at all the applicants.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
It's quite a process.
Okay,
so
it
actually takes quite a while.
Okay, thank you.
Give you some reading when you need something that you want to do other than commission work.
If you get a chance, make sure you thumb through it.
That's a good
stuff.
Last week I was able to go to the Voices for Food deal they had over lunch hour, and it's just incredible the things that they did in Dakota County, especially when you look at, you know, as a statewide program and also other states. And, you know, in the state of Nebraska, over half of the produce raised in the program happened in Dakota counties. Of the, what was it, five in there? Was there 5 or 10 counties in Nebraska?
I think there's 10.
I think there's 10 counties in Nebraska. So,
yeah,
it's incredible. And just like the volunteer hours and stuff, and they distributed it to the local food banks, and it's been a phenomenal program.
Thousands of pounds of fresh fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm. And normally, you know, people, you know, at the food bankers, so you get used to having your canned goods and stuff, and I think that summer being able to have those fresh fruits and vegetables really valuable.
So one of the things that we're trying to do is change the environment, not just say, here's something for you, but like the community orchard in South Sioux, it's like we want to grow these things here. We want to have that environment here. And that's a long, long process to be able to do for people to understand that they can do some of that. They can put an apple tree in their backyard, or they can put a little raised bed, or just a great big pot with something that they can grow themselves and have something fresh. But that is one of our focuses, is food nutrition.
They've also acquired a bunch of raised beds, so you know, looking at putting them at different, you know, apartment complexes. They have a bunch of raised beds out at the community health center, where you know, people come into community health, and on the way out they can leave with a sack of vegetables. So pretty nice.
All right. Thank you
very much. Thank you. Thank you. Good stuff. We'll go ahead and talk just a little bit about Commissioner Committee reports, and then we'll give Amy a call back, see if we can get her. I like I say, I went over to the Voices of Food deal. They had a well-attended meeting there, just looking at different ways to get people to volunteer and people to transport the community garden behind Tri-State Communication on the bypass in South Sioux. Is their single biggest garden. They also have one out in the county on the way to Jackson, out there on the Bowles Farm, off behind the farmsteads there. And I mean, it was like 17,000 pounds of produce that went into Dakota County, and over 5,000 different people received produce. So pretty incredible, you know. And then also, if you're a backyard gardener and you get to the point to where you have a lot of extra produce and you're not using it anymore, you just sack it up and take it there, and they distribute it. So it's really a, kind of a deal where you can help your community, and a lot of people are doing it anyway. There's a lot of drop-off. You can do it right here at place right across the street. You can do it at the Community Health Center right there by Great West. They actually went ahead and got some coolers. So if you go in there, say you have, you know, a bunch of tomatoes and cucumbers and stuff, you go in there, they have a little they have a scale there, you weigh out, you put in the book what you dropped off, you put it in the coolers, and then people that are coming to Community Health, they just have an option to take whatever they need. In the fall, a lot of people got together, and like the apple trees were overproducing, you know, they'd bring in apples. At the end of the year, when farmers were done with their sweet corn, there were some farmers who brought in, you know, 500-600 pounds of sweet corn. They would go to the different food banks. So it's a lot of times it's surplus stuff that people are, you know, not going to use. It gives an avenue for people to get that out and use it. There's a lot of people that can really use it, so pretty cool. And then I went on the legislative meeting on a bus down to Lincoln a week ago, and it was really informational. The governor did come in and talk to us for about 30 minutes. He was talking mostly tax relief, property tax relief. Joni, our state senator, was there. She came and talked to us for a while over lunch, and brought a couple other state senators with us. So it was really informational, and very good to be able to, you know, talk to somebody on a little bit more of a personal, just to make that connection like Tony does. You know, Tony kind of runs that town down there, but no. But he's done that a lot of times, and he's made those connections, and so then when Tony makes a call, they know who's calling them, and I think that definitely makes a difference.
I was going to go this year, you know, but that night I had call all night long, you know, and I got up in the morning to get my car started, so I was thinking, we parked the bus, you know, quite a ways from the place that we need to. I said, no way, I'm not going to go. So I said,
and I got up, and we left pretty early in the morning, and I seen that I'd missed a call from Tony at like 4:50 in the morning. So I knew he was up early.
I sent text. Oh,
yeah, text.
Yeah,
text
message. Yep. I ain't going to go. But so, I've been there, what?
Well, lots of times.
10 times,
yep.
At least.
All right. Let's go ahead and try that call back. Okay. How does this work? I hit the blue button again.
Thank you. Hi, this is Kevin with the Dakota County Board of Commissioners again.
Hi.
I was just checking to see if Amy had made it back to the office.
Not quite yet. Hold on just one second. Let me see where she's at. Hold on.
Sure.
I'm just trying to figure out what would open if this was, because I didn't see this until I got here. Okay.
I was going to say we have them, but I didn't know if someone dropped them.
Have you seen this Exhibit 2 Schedule D as part of my question?
Where is it?
Yeah. Because it sounds like we're responsible for,
They had me sign some stuff and fill out some stuff, just technical stuff. She had me phone. Was that an attachment, do you think?
Significantly compensated for this. In accordance with this and plan sponsor, who's us, shall in agreement provide for the compensation fees in accordance with the terms of the ASA. And this, I guess that's where I'm confused.
What was that?
Number five.
Okay, it looks like she is held up for just a minute. Can you tell me, is there a way that you can send me the piece? I think what you guys are signing, you have to log into directly there to get it. I don't think I have a copy of it. Is it possible to get a copy of it so I can take a look at it for you?
Yes, Joan is going to get that sent over.
What's your email?
You can send it to Sandy, S-A-N-D-Y, at... and then 3riversbenefits.com. I'll take a look at it, and Amy's almost back, so between the two of us, I think we'll be able to take a look at that. But if you send it to me, I'll go back to my desk right now and take a look at it. So let me put you on hold for just 1 second. So
hey, is Amy there, or is she not back yet?
She's not back quite yet.
Okay.
She is en route to being back.
All right.
Hold on just 1 second. I'm going to go back to my desk so I can open up that email. Hold on.
Thank you.
We just have some insurance things that we're dealing with, so we'll be getting out of here pretty quick. So.
Yeah, our start time's up until 1:40. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were actually on schedule.
We were.
This does not happen often.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I was just thinking, I felt bad for moving that back to 1:40, so that's why I didn't ask a question about this.
Yeah. Not really. So who moved to the...
Were we raised?
The what?
I did.
What you did?
What?
Because I thought if you're just coming for that part and you have to sit through... When I was coming from work just to kind of listen in, I'd get kicked out for 40 minutes.
Oh, shit.
Well,
when they had closed door.
Yeah.
For session.
Yeah.
How can
so
we
just
do
making
that
it so that if you're a customer coming in, you don't come in for our meeting and before your meeting even starts.
I don't know.
If you're just wanting to talk about your tax protest.
I don't know if we can.
For the Board of Compensation.
But why do we have a
The meeting only lit like today.
I think that's...
I didn't realize that. That was my fault. It's the whole year last year didn't happen.
My point that it's still good like an election year. John was so busy. They're sitting here.
I just don't...
15, 20 minutes. I don't know. That's fine.
We can look at that. I don't care.
We
have done it 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Many, if you have both parties.
Seldom will we meet for an hour.
Our back's against the wall.
But why did we move the...
I don't see us
that was my other question.
Violation of the contract.
I guess we'll ask Tim.
I don't know that it changed anything for them.
I wasn't aware.
Did it?
Because I used to come to the commissioner's meeting and I'd be kicked out for 40 minutes because of 40 votes.
If you change the prescription cost.
And that kind of made me mad.
Is that on the attachment?
Okay, I have it now. Can you give me the planner so I can log in and look at them?
The what? What do you need?
The email address and the, you know, the login information. I think I'll probably ask for a password.
Do
you guys have that from
Sheree? Joan might have that.
Okay.
Oh, I got it. Hold on just a second.
Next year, we should have more, they should have more time to review the insurance documents.
Oh, yes.
It's just way too short to make a decision. You know,
it is.
Yeah. We got to, you guys, make sure that next year.
We need another competitor.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she researches a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And with the contract thing, I don't want to see us get bound up on, because it is changing. I mean, you've got guys that are gonna, it's gonna cost them an extra $1,000. I would think that is a change to the insurance.
Yeah, there was not enough time for us to look at it.
There is a maximum for personal. That's a good thing.
That is for.
So even though it's just a maximum.
That's like the network that they have in place for if somebody would have a transplant. They typically have a network that will help save more.
Thank you, Joan.
Money and things through the contract they put in place for that.
Well, the titles of those agreements don't tie. The network service agreement, and then it says customer agreement.
We don't have that.
I don't see that part of it. And then in that customer service agreement under 5, it talks about Exhibit 2 Schedule D, which we don't even have Exhibit 2 Schedule D to know what we're liable for. You know what I'm saying?
I'm kind of trying to look through it real quick here.
So it's hard to sign off on something when you don't even have the schedule that you're going to be held to.
Is it impossible to just put it off for a couple days? And
is it a 7-page agreement that you're looking at?
Well, the first two are the network service agreement. Let's see. What is it? The network service agreement, and then the second one's the payer access agreement or something like that. So it's not the same thing that's in the cover letter. And then on item number 5 of that network service agreement, it talks about the schedule. Exhibit 2, Schedule D, who pays what. I mean, I guess I feel like we should be able to look at that before we sign it. It wasn't in here.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless somebody else had it.
It should be with.
Is that where it should be? The exhibit should be attached at least.
Yeah. So we don't have the customer agreement. If that's separate.
Maybe something we should have an emergency meeting on Friday. And that way we could maybe even.
All right, hold on just a second.
Sure, thank you.
I mean, maybe it's not a deal, I don't know, it just seems weird to me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you picked up on that.
Yeah, that's
appreciated.
To recess there and do those and then come back to this.
Yeah, okay.
About 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Ask if she's, is she there? Are we on hold with her?
She told us to hold on for just a
second. Okay, if she comes back and doesn't have the answer, we'll just recess and then we'll call her back when we're done with the.
More of a motion.
Should we get some chairs on the hallway?
I think everybody in the hallway came in, I think. Oh, okay.
I can go move some chairs
out. Yeah, I'll grab a few with it. We can just call it.
Hang up on
it. That's what I did.
Tell her to come down here.
Yeah, I think.
I could have Sheree.
Maybe.
Have Sheree call her and
call her back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marlene and that. Yep.
That's where it goes. Thank you.
Nice job, Kevin.
Don't tell him you don't.
Lost the connection.
That don't tell me, just reached over and hit the button.
All right, we're going to go ahead and continue that. We'll get our call back with our insurance here after we're done with our Board of Equalization. So at this time, I'll go ahead and hand it off to Kevin.
Okay, we will call to order the Dakota County Board of Equalization for February 24th. It is 1:41 p.m. Joan, when you get situated, can you call roll, please?
Kevin.
Here.
Larry.
Here.
Janet.
Here.
Martin.
Yep.
Tony.
Here.
A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We will begin with the consent agenda item, and the only item on that is approval for the previous minutes from February 10th of 2020.
So move to the minutes with the
I'd second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay. We'll move on to new business. It is 1:42 p.m. We'll have public hearing for the purpose of hearing oral and a written testimony from the qualifying organizations who filed an exemption application form 451 for tax exemption on real and personal property. So,
Kevin, before you start, is there anybody here that they've been approved, that they're in the approval? I talked to a couple of guys in the hallway that had, and if my understanding is if they've been approved, then it's not necessary for them to...
The Eagles here, you got us approved in one column, and you got us disapproved in another column.
Okay, that's for a portion. Okay, if there's anybody who just has checked in the approval, then there's no reason for them to present it. All right, go ahead.
If you've been approved and you wish to speak on the approval portion, now's the time to do that. Otherwise, our next new business is where we will discuss the denials. Is there anyone that wants to speak on their approval portion? Okay.
We're approved on an apportion for Dakota City United Methodist Church.
Right.
Okay,
so we'll move on to B, the tax exemption on real and personal property.
No. You have to leave the open meeting, the public hearing open for everything.
For the denial.
You want it on the denial too on this one?
The public hearing is now, and then after the public hearing is closed, then you guys make a decision.
Okay. Okay, well, we will move on to the denials then, or the partial denials. I guess let's start with our first row. Just come on up here to the podium, state your name and what organization you're with.
Yeah, I'm Roger Gaswent from Eagles in South Sioux City, 2492. And we were approved, and then we have a denial here. And we are still a charity organization. We lease the property to the Dons here in South Sioux City. But we are responsible for all the repairs yet on the building. And we do get a rent from him every month, yeah. We do have to pay all the bills, though, as far as anything outside, which some has been, you know, quite large, but the building has been, yeah. So.
Okay. Christy, do you want to?
As far as I know, nothing had changed. It was whatever it was last year, the same percent. I 13% taxable, 87% exempt.
Okay. And that was based off of the fact that there was income coming in.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of income coming, but we've got some. Yeah.
Okay.
We have no paid employees. We're all volunteers. Yeah.
Okay. And I believe, you know, the recommendation was for the non-tax exempt portion was because of the leased money that you do have coming in.
Right. Yeah. That kind of takes care of our bills that we have every month. Yeah. To take care of that. And we've got some past. It was quite large when I took over 2.5 years ago that we've got to be paying on right now. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I Yes, we'll move on to the next one.
Okay.
Thank you.
You want to go, you want to stay, or do you go?
It's up to you if you want to stay or not.
Yeah. Okay.
It's up to everyone after you come up, if you want to stay or not.
Thank you.
Yeah. You bet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thank you for coming.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. My name is Tammy O'Dell, and I am here to represent Dakota City United Methodist Church and also Pathways Preschool. And we are approved on an apportion.
Okay. And if I remember right, we were
92.
Once again because of the income coming in.
Okay.
Okay. And can you kind of, Christy, can you come up and just kind of explain how it's looked at from the assessor side, that if there is income coming in, that is considered...
They do a certain percentage. And we figured if it was just the base one, we'd give them 90% off. There's not a set amount. I mean, set percent is whatever Jeff comes up with.
Yeah, I think Jeff went off of square footage. Did he come in and bring that up at one point or something?
He did not go off. Room or something like that, and he figured in the basement, right? Isn't that what he said?
That sounds about
There's
right.
actually no rent coming in. The preschool is a nonprofit tax-exempt organization as well, and I have documentation. I can hand that in to you. And it was set up as a ministry through the church, approved by the ad council. So there is no set rent that comes in. We help with donations to operating costs for the church, and stewardship as well, snow removal, building improvements, cleaning, and such of that nature. So it's actually a nonprofit within a nonprofit. And here's all the documentation supporting that of the preschool.
Do the people that bring their children in, do they have to pay a fee?
There is a fee for operating costs, such as if you go to the YMCA, you pay a fee to get in there, and that's a nonprofit. If you go to Launchpad Children's Museum, that's also a nonprofit, and there's a fee there for operating costs, yes.
How would it be different than, say, a parochial school? You know, I see where St. Mike's is exempt, and, you know, kids that go there pay tuition.
It's a church.
What's that?
It's a Catholic church. I mean, it's all church-based. Here are the documentation. Pathways Preschool is a 501c3, which is a nonprofit, also tax exempt. All the documentation is there.
That doesn't necessarily make it exempt.
It is.
According to the state.
In all 50 states, they're exempt.
No.
It's a nonprofit.
501c3s do not make you tax exempt.
It's right there, sir.
You cannot. She's approved through the IRS and the state of Nebraska as a nonprofit, as a ministry of that church. You guys don't, the church doesn't pay property tax on the 90%. Or even 100%. You don't tax them on that. She's a nonprofit within a nonprofit.
Can you stand up and state your name?
I have Justin O'Dell, her husband. I've researched into this. We've had our legal counsel, tax advisor, to go talk about this. When she started this project, I was against her going against this nonprofit because she spends a lot of money up front to avoid this problem, to have the church being taxed or anybody have hard feelings or whatever. She's done everything she needed to do to become state compliant and compliant with the federal government. You can look on the IRS's website, all 50 states, you cannot charge property tax on a nonprofit. That's all 50 states through the United States of America.
In addition to that, the church ad council board approved this as a ministry as well. So we are an educational religious preschool within the church.
And all she is a director of a nonprofit corporation.
Can I add to that? My name is Kathy Rouse. I'm the trustee chairperson for the United Methodist Church.
Yes.
I've also been in touch with our district superintendent, and Tammy has claimed the business as her own by doing her own finances. We, as the church, do not receive anything as far as the payments from the parents coming in. She does pay us a donation. She does help out with some of the fixing that we need to do. And as far as the finances, it's Tammy's business.
Well, it's a nonprofit within a nonprofit corporation, and that's how the United Methodist Church wanted to set up 5 years ago. This has been going on, so nothing has changed. In hindsight. And by her holding that legal documentation, there's really nothing to question here. You don't charge property tax to a church, you don't charge property tax to a school, you don't charge property tax to an urban hospital.
We do charge property taxes to a school if they lease out a portion of something to a business.
She's a ministry within this business, and she is a nonprofit.
But she makes $175 a kid. Where does the money go?
Oh, it goes into the corporation. It doesn't matter what she does on her
property.
Stop talking.
We need to remain calm. Okay, we don't need to raise our voices.
Personal income has nothing to do with it.
If
the money is paid into the corporation that benefits.
Is all of your income given to the church?
No.
Do you receive any type of financial?
She receives a salary because she's the director of that corporation.
She pays herself. She takes care of the finances. She pays herself.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that goes to the church is a donation and the stewardship, like I said.
Okay, so it's...
Fees are paid for operating costs.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
It was actually set up as a ministry of the church. So I took the additional steps to make it a nonprofit as well as tax exempt.
Compliant with what was the current status of the church and the building properties to begin with.
Okay. Okay.
Shirley?
Yeah, I'm a resident agent for the Methodist Church in Dakota City, have been for 25 years, showing its nonprofit. There is no contract. We have gone through, I've gone through every file in that office. Any initial contract that covered them going into the church, the church is listed legally as a church. That building from there on to the alley is a brick building that used to be Sunday school. There is no Sunday school anymore. But as resident agent from the state of Nebraska, I received a letter that saying that is used. Okay, I guess I should direct the question to you. Does she pay an electric bill?
No.
Does she pay air conditioning?
No.
That building, every member of the church that is there is paying to cover that entire building for the church school to run. No contract, nothing. I went through the last 3 years and I called board members asking if I missed something at any board meeting. I got a letter from the county about 6 months ago, and I went up to the board meeting and I sat at the back and I thought, this is getting nowhere. The meeting was opened and I asked to get on the agenda and I went home, because that was never, you couldn't discuss that. So how much protection does the church have? How much are we paying of this business that they opened up and run in that church? And when I get this letter from the conference saying, what is happening? I'd like you to explain a little more than how you have a building and you don't get an electric bill, you don't get a gas bill.
And
you have no contract.
Okay, this really isn't the place or time for that, Shirley, but the board approved it. The ad council board approved it through the Dakota City United Methodist Church as a ministry of the church. It's in the board minutes.
I've got sat down on the floor. The minister called me about a month and a half ago, the present minister, and said, Shirley, would you come up to the office and talk to me? He's out of Omaha. And so rode my bike up there, and what did he want? He says, I want you to be a trustee again. I had taken my name off the trustee list. He just wanted to visit because he was concerned. He comes 2 or 3 days a week, and he's coming out of Omaha.
Excuse me. I think maybe we've digressed from what the subject is here, and I would like to speak for a moment. My name is Melanie Neiman, and I am the education coordinator in the Dakota City United Methodist Church. And interestingly, when this came about, it was because another pastor we had knew about Tammy O'Dell's background in her education and the fact that she had run programs in Walt Hill, Nebraska for 7 years. And the traditional Sunday school, that ship, to quote that pastor, that ship has sailed. Kids don't get up and come in the morning anymore. So we have two programs now in the church specifically designed for young people. One is Pathways Preschool, and it is a faith-based preschool, and there is a tuition paid to purchase the materials needed for the class. The traditional Sunday school that I had for 40 years had offerings. Offertories came in, and that was used to support the program. I do a midweek children's ministry program called Teen Kid, and that is part of our church and the ministry for young people, not only in Dakota City, but we have kids from other surrounding communities that also are in both programs. And this program, when it was initiated by a former pastor that we had, she had been involved in one in Kansas City. And there are specific guidelines within the United Methodist Church worldwide that says if you have a program, whether it be a daycare program or a children's educational ministry program, these are the guidelines that must be met. And there are several pages. And everything about it talks about the responsibilities of those that are involved to provide education for these young people regarding the Bible, God, Jesus, the Golden Rule, all of those things. In addition to that, Pathways does do some preliminary academic training as well. They have little computers they use. That was purchased via the
donation,
the tuitions that came in. But the interesting thing is initially the trustees of the church provided some initial seed money in the way of a loan just to get the program up and running. And then as there was tuition coming in, materials being purchased, a portion of that was going back. The trustees were repaid initially very early on. Everything that comes in through that program, other than the salary for Tammy, goes back into the church to help support it, whether it's cleaning and cleaning supplies, toilet paper in the bathrooms that the kids use, those types of things. So, again, I believe that's why. I mean, there may be some individuals in the church that wonder what's going on in the way of supporting the church, but there have been several times donations made to continue because it's a good program and it's wonderful. There's a waiting list in the years, and our Teen Kid program has approximately 15 kids on a regular basis on a Wednesday night. So, you know, and we're all teaching the things you'll find in the Bible, and also teaching people about how to use those same things, and that makes you a good individual, a good citizen in the community. So I just wanted to mention that that's kind of how it all came about, was because traditional Sunday school, really, if you talk to a lot of churches, it doesn't even exist anymore. So this is a way of doing the basics with young people.
How many kids are we talking about? How many kids are enrolled?
12 per day.
And do they go 5 days a week, or do they?
They can. Some only come part time. Some come 2 days a week. Some come 3 days a week, and some come full time.
Okay.
What ages are they?
3, 4, and 5. Preschool age.
Are they all church members, or can anyone?
Non-denominational. They can. Yes. Some are church members. Grandchildren. Some go to other churches. Some just live here in the community.
Okay.
So do you have to file a tax return? Is your 501c3?
Yes.
Okay. We'll move on.
Can I add something? I'm not against the school program. Again, I'm the trustee board chairperson. It could be a really good thing. What I'm looking at is I want to make sure that the church is okay on their standings. And as I've said, Tammy has taken this program, and it is now her own business. She is using a portion of our church.
And also, is the fellowship hall for any the building, the classrooms were initially Sunday school rooms in the basement. The fellowship hall, the kitchen, the entire upstairs is now this center. And the rest is the church. So if you're going to have a dinner, I think she has her kids take a nap, but if you someone goes down to the bathroom, they're told, don't flush, be quiet.
I think the recommendation of the assessor was 10% was considered taxed based on the business. It was 10% of the church.
Okay. And we're here to let you all know that the preschool is also a nonprofit as well.
Okay. And this is all appealable to TURT. Mm-hmm. So, just let everyone know, these are appealable to TURT. Okay, so if you disagree with our stance and our findings, it is appealable to TURT.
Which is at the state level. So if you aren't, the findings you get aren't what you think they should be, you can, this isn't the end. If you want to go forward and appeal it to the next level, you can. It's just something that you have the option to do.
TURC, what's that stand for?
The Tax Equalization Review Committee?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Commission. Yep.
Commission, excuse me. Committee commission. And that's a board at the state level. And is that three? How many person panel is that? That's a three-person panel.
Prepare that.
And there's information in your office for how to file that appeal?
It's online.
We're online.
It's in my office.
County clerk's office.
Okay, county clerk's office.
Okay. And is there a decision that gets made today, or how does that work initially?
Yes, we will make a decision today.
It doesn't have to be today. You have until June if you want to do some more research on it. Get some more information.
Yeah, we can table certain decisions.
We have until June too. So depending on what we hear from the remainder of people, some of it may get forwarded, so we have a chance to look into it just a little bit further. Thanks for all the information you brought along with you. That helps our job.
Okay, so we will move on to the next.
Glad Tidings Lighthouse, South Sioux City. You approved the church and part of the parcels, but all the parcels except for one is all connected to the church, all used for church use. We don't have any outside use or anything else.
Okay.
The yard is all church use yard for the kids. We don't run anything other than our Sunday schools, our children's church, our services.
So okay.
I don't understand why the rejection.
Is there anything going to get built on this? Or
well, we hope for it in the future, but most of it, like a good majority of all the parcels, like we bought the land connecting from B Street to C Street, or no, 9th and 10th, mm-hmm. 9th and 10th. So because all we had was one entrance, that was 10th Street.
Yep.
And it was, you know, that was very hard to get. So we bought that land and opened up an entryway so we could get into our church that way. And it's all church and all connected.
Okay. What's the partial, Christy, that we're talking about?
There's quite a few.
Because we gave up everything that was church parking and church. We did not.
Well, part of the church parking. I laid out the map.
Yeah. I thought, was this with empty lots and there has to be some type of plan?
No intent to build, that doesn't count.
Well, we use the parking lot and we use the yards for the kids. It's all school use, like volleyball. We got a basketball hoop in the back. It's all used for the church use. I don't know if you want to look at it. I brought the map to show that it's all connecting property. We've always had it. Here's your church. There's 10th Street. Yeah. So we're looking at the end.
The church is right here.
Yeah. And then this is all parking. Here is the driveway to go into our parking. And even right here, we own, you approve this half and not the other half, which is all goes an entryway into our parking from 10th Street.
Okay, what about
all that is, those are houses. We just own the land.
This goes per parcel.
Yeah. We've been established there for a long time. It's always, it was a Gospel Light House. We are
in previous. Yeah. Did you own this parcel last year? Did you own that last year?
Yeah.
And was it taxed last year?
No. We owned it quite a while. Mm-hmm. But the newer parts we've gotten within the last 10 years. So that's just mm-hmm. That was so we can make a driveway to go through and not always come down 10th Street, because that's, you know, houses are there, they got parking. It would be actually a fire hazard for them if they had to get to our church just to have one entrance in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we opened up there. Yeah, we bought that land ourselves to open up an entrance.
No development.
Mm-hmm.
Does a secondary driveway?
East 10th Street. Down East 10th Street,
yep.
Comes into a dead end, a street runs right into our church.
Yep.
So we brought that property off 9th Street because we only had one entrance extras.
That's
so,
what I just told
yeah,
you.
But that's what I'm going to explain it to them. There's a, now we have an exit and an enter going out to 9th Street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is part of the parcel that you guys did approve.
Plus the that's been done a couple of years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had that quite a while.
It's just a matter of getting time to go through everything.
I mean, I think your other church's yards are approved.
It's
okay.
It's been gravel for years.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we bought the other land, is for parking. As you
is
grow,
there any fences
the
up or mm-hmm. playground?
Yeah, they we have a volleyball court, we have the basketball court, we have on the one lot right by the church. Well, you approved that lot. It's part of the church.
Okay, so that part has been approved.
Yeah.
That has the development.
Can I come and show you?
Yes. The part that has been developed.
This is land.
Yes.
Okay. Back here we have a basketball court. There's also a shed. So this is all parking.
Yep.
And then this is land, and this is land. This is where our volleyball court is. This is where we do church functions for our kids. And then this is the new entryway I was talking about. We bought these parcels for that.
What's been developed on here?
It's just yard.
Okay.
It's just yard connected to the church.
The ones I attached are 19 aerials.
Okay. That's
just yard.
That's where the non-exemption comes into place. Is there's been no development on it. There's no plan, and
you can't have a churchyard.
It's my understanding is that you have to have some type of development after so long, otherwise
so
you no longer meet.
Why did you not approve this one where it's our driveway into it
right here?
Yeah, that's our driveway.
Okay,
connected. It's part of the
2208 408 50.
See, you say right here, we've got the north, south. This is the north half of that lot. And they're joined together. And that's our driveway from 10th Street to get into our parking.
Okay, this has been approved.
One half has been approved, not the other half. Not partial 2200407 53 was not approved.
Do you own 2201 32844?
That is the where we're talking. We're a new driveway.
Okay.
That's our.
How many years have you been doing that?
And this does have the volleyball.
Okay.
This yard, and this is part of this. Just happens
Where's
to be all together.
Where's the volleyball at?
right along the building.
Over here?
Yeah, right along here.
Okay. Keep that. Okay, thank you.
If you reject any of this, is there a way, what do you want us to develop on it? What do you want to put? Yard stuff? Do you have to show pictures that kids use the land, or?
Talk to Jeff and see what the requirements are for the tax exemption on vacant lots.
Okay, so you're going to let us know what happens here?
Yep.
And then we can go from there?
Yes.
How many dollars is this we're talking about?
I don't have that from me.
And then I will look into other places that have yards in their church.
I'm sure there's some other churches in the community that don't have anything on it.
Yeah, there's their yard. Just because they have a church yard?
It's property that they own. That there's no development, and there's no immediate plan for development. It still falls under just land owned.
Yeah, the kids play on that. They play soccer.
You have
they have their own church plays there.
And we have outdoor functions.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Nope. Come on up.
Unique. I'm Carl Bieber with Better Senior Living, and I think we're going to have our attorney call in also on this. So I can.
Do we want to do that now?
I can wait.
Yeah, let's put that at the end. Yeah, we'll get the rest of the
stuff through.
Gotcha.
And then
no problem.
It'll probably be a longer one. So.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. Pastor Doug, the First Lutheran Church. Last name is Dill, D's and David, ILL. Here because we have one parcel that has not been approved. It's been denied. My understanding that part of the parcel is for a parking lot.
Is that the one on G Street?
No, it's in back behind.
Okay.
Where our softball field is.
There's nothing there.
There's a softball field there.
There's a water fountain there. There's a softball field there. There's a fence line for the softball field.
When was the last time softball was played there?
Last summer, I watched people out there practicing. We opened up and let people come out and practice.
Okay. I'm just curious because I haven't seen anyone play out there for
years. They're out there practicing out in the field.
Yeah.
There's other organizations come out when they can't get other spaces, and we don't stop them from going out there. We tell them it's fine that they want to go out there.
I'm not sure why, but church softball leagues kind of went the way of Sunday school, and I don't think either of them are good.
Okay. You know, that green space also is what gets used when we do our outdoor services. People pull up in the parking lot. People sit and put out lawn chairs out in the green space to sit out there as well. So, because we do an outdoor worship service twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it's a good softball field, but it is a softball field.
There still backstop one?
Yep.
Okay. And that still gets, is it?
It's probably just about every weekend. There's various different groups out there. Practicing. We don't hold any games out there, but people come out and use it for practice. We don't have a softball league anymore, you know, softball league. We just heard somebody got hurt out there on the softball league, you know.
Yeah.
But I know I see multiple different groups that come out and use it for practice.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
from Area Linguistics is Tony Aspen, because these people are here.
Okay.
Is there anybody from La Primera Iglesia Bautista Hispana?
Yes.
Hello. My name is Antonio Joaquin, and I'm the registered agent for Primera Iglesia Bautista. And we were approved for a portion of it also. The build, we also have vacant land, and that's the portion that was denied. And that's the portion that we want to talk about. I'd like to talk a little bit about the portion that was approved. We've been there for 23 years. This is going to be the 24th year. It's in a corner lot. The lot dimensions are 80 by 120, minus the building. So there is no extra space at all. And the reason why we bought this vacant land, the main reason was we're planning to build a building there. Until we build the building, we're using it as our space for our activities. When we can't do anything in the church, there is no space, so that's why we use the other space. And we do. He's gonna talk a little bit in a little bit. He's got pictures and also the our calendar of events for the year. And the pictures will show that we do use the vacant land. The land has no buildings at all, just land. When we first got it, there was no way to go into the land. I have the permits that we took out from the city to cut the curb, make the approaches, the driveway, sidewalk, permits for the sign. And also the city did approve for us to build a building there, a church building. I have here estimates from architects, engineers, contractors. The city did say that they didn't want anybody to just start something and say 1 year do the foundation, next year do the walls. They have to do it all at once. So based on the estimates, it comes roughly at about $1 million. So we're a small church. We just happen to be in a really small building. You know, so as of right now, we haven't come up with $1 million. Right now, we can say close to $600,000 is what we have. So we're getting there. Our church is small. We don't have the resources of bigger churches, and we don't think it's impossible to do it. It's just taking us a little bit longer to do it.
When did you purchase the lot?
5 years ago. So for the 5 years that we had it, we've been approved for the tax exemption. And on the activity that we do there, here with us is a member of the church whose house is next, pretty much close to the land, so we use the bathroom there. We use generators. We have tents, trailers, and everything portable that we take to the land and use it as outdoor services.
That's what we do. Where is this church at?
The church is on, it's close to Glad Tidings. It's on the corner of B Street and 9th. That's where the church building is. Yes, and this land is we know it as 1800 G Street, but because there's no physical building, there's no address given to the land as of right now.
When was the last time you had a program there?
Because it was last year, because there's no building. Everything is weather permitting. There is no shelter. The first event that we're planning on having, it's Mother's Day, which is in May.
But last year?
Last year would have been in August.
How many events did you have there?
We have, well, every year it's about the same.
Yes, we do have like a calendar for the next year, or for actually this year, 2020.
Plan A is always the land, because we can invite more people. And our church can only hold.
And also, there's some pictures here if you want to look at it. There's some activity that we already have, like Mother's Day and stuff like that.
Stay there. One, two, three, four, five events.
Is there a way to get the date stamp from these pictures?
What
day they were taken?
They can. We took them off of the USB, so some of the pictures did have a date on it.
Some are from the cell phone.
Yeah, we've only had it for 5 years, so any pictures are...
In the last 5 years.
Yeah. Then I had a question. I heard you talking about how big of a building would it require? I mean, sometimes if it was denied and you have to have a building, you know, how big would it have to be? Because like I said, we have close to $600,000 that we could use to build something. It wouldn't be what we were planning on building. But we could, you know, for us, it'd be better if we did it all. Because if we do something small, we'll be in the same, you know, it'd be the same as now.
Same predicament.
Yeah.
Soon as the church grows.
Yeah, so we'd rather have...
I don't think there's a set parameter on the size of the building.
So yeah. So
I think this was more based off of there's been no, you know, there's been no development done.
Yeah. The only development that we did besides the driveway was it's a temporary parking lot. There was also.
And that was done a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to start using the property, we had to do the driveway road, temporary parking lot. We were denied on like a water well to put in there, temporary one. So
basically those pictures that we saw, I mean, that they held an event every year. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they really using the ground. So I don't see why they qualify for their tax exempt.
Yes.
I would like to see some at least date stamps on there. I mean, just okay. So that we've got the documentation that this is. You know, they weren't 5 years ago pictures, and then we haven't had anything for 4 years.
Yeah, just
it's just
because like a number of these, we'll probably take them under advisement and then do some more homework on them. So
yeah.
If you could get us just some date stamp pictures,
okay.
As soon as you could, just bring them down.
Yeah, I have a pack on the car. I just picked those because they had a more detailed.
I know. I would have done the same thing,
but the other ones have the stamp, but it could be just. Like closer pictures of the kids in there.
Yeah. Well, so just when you get a chance.
And maybe I should have brought this up at the beginning when we still had a couple of people here. If we don't make a ruling on this today, maybe we can make an appointment with the assessor's office to sit down and speak to him.
Yeah.
And try to at least outline stuff. Maybe there's some more information that he didn't have available at the time.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, we would like to have a little bit more time to come up with more money.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to just do something small just
no.
to.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. Don't even. I wouldn't consider that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So.
Don't worry about that.
So, did everybody hear that? If we don't make a ruling today. Make an appointment with the assessor's office and bring some of your information with you to sit down with Jeff or Christy and speak to them about what you feel is wrong with the denial portion of it, okay?
And then ultimately the decision will come back to us. So and we need to have that done by June 1st, but we'd like to get it done sooner than later.
How will we know if we make a first decision today? Like we wait or?
Can your office send out notification
of the...
I don't think we sent it out. We've already given our opinions up to you.
We would just have to...
Okay.
We'll just do something for
we'll send you a letter.
Half a dozen.
We notify...
Yeah, we'll notify you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yep, thank you.
Via mail. I believe Tony needs to get moving, so...
I need to leave. When you get older, you got to go to the doctor's appointment, so...
We'll try to handle it without you, Tony.
Take care, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and extend them.
I will make a motion to excuse. Do I need to make a motion to excuse Tony from the rest of the meeting?
No, I just know that he
might. Okay.
And then County Church.
Is there anybody from Cowie Church, post 307 here?
No. And then.
Here's the number for the.
Well, who are you guys here for? Why don't you come on up here?
That one is approved.
I think it's approved. The very bottom one, right?
In the middle of the page, that's one we're looking at?
Yes, that one, but at least.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Okay.
It's a special. I'm going to say that. I'm
going
to. So what does that mean? From the church?
Yeah, your request to be tax exempt was approved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nah, that's not right.
It's just a red button. Sorry.
And I like the
that was right there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ron.
I think they just didn't understand. I caught two people in the hallway that were approved. Still thought they needed to be here because they got a letter.
Yeah, there was a.
Because they all got notified.
We circled to get that in every courthouse. Thank you.
Yes.
Is this is that the Legion Hall next to 19th Street?
Yeah.
All right. I'm just curious. What's the percentage? I don't know what the percentage is. What is it? These guys.
The Legion Hall, Cowie Church.
They just didn't file.
Well, they didn't file.
They didn't file at all.
No, Jeff recommended partial.
Oh, County Church.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm a member down there. I'm just 90-10. That's because they probably have the bar there. Mm-hmm. All right, that's all I need to know.
All right, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have VSL.
So we let the other folks know that we're going to continue.
Oh,
just in case they want to get out of here.
Yeah, I think what we'll do then is.
Do you want?
Thank you.
I'm Forrest Akers, and I'm Prairie Union. If I could do that one, I have a question on the phone.
Okay. Which one? Come on up.
Which one is it you say?
Prairie Union and Forrest Akers. I'm Charlotte Nelson, representing the company.
So that one I actually got two letters on, and it doesn't state that they were either denied or approved. It just states that I possibly filled out the wrong form. But I got called because I asked which form to fill out before I submitted it and was told it was a 451, and we actually did file that same form back in the, years ago when we got approved. So we actually did have property tax exemption on a charitable property, and it's a 501c3 as well. It meets the five test points of Mission Charitable Services, doesn't make any money. We don't sell alcohol. We don't discriminate against any protected class. or populations, and then it's used exclusively for charitable purposes. So from both of those properties, I have copies of an addendum that I added some information down below to maybe help. I think there might have been confusion that it was low-income housing only. But the property had never changed from the 80s or 90s from the purpose of the property. We did provide housing to people that have barriers to independence. And so the properties are actually operated by Goodwill, but they're their own 501c3, just like Goodwill is their own 501c3. So we don't make any money at the properties. In fact, when there's repairs needed, many times Goodwill has to pay, you know, to cover a roof or pay to cover an HVAC system or something of that nature. So I have copies of that, and then I also have a copy of the 451 that we had filed back in 2008. There's filings prior to that, but I think what happened was the reaffirmation didn't get filed 1 year, and so then I got taken off the docket and became taxable again. But the 451 is the same form that we had filed previously that did get approved, and nothing has changed in ownership or services or charitable mission programming at these sites. And the services that are offered are professional staff who visit one-on-one with these folks and help them connect them to referrals to different agencies and town and community services. And I'm sorry, I have a really bad cold. Yeah. So I have copies of that if you want it to be helpful. I just simply filed the same form as I filed in the past. I did call before I filed it, and also have the same form that we filed years back as well. So I'm not real sure why it would have been a different form.
So what was the name of that?
Prairie Haven.
Oh, that's
and Forest Acres, yeah. What's
it called?
Prairie Haven and Forest Acres. So I didn't get, to be clear, I didn't get a denial or a
filed along. Okay, all right, okay.
So here's that. I can maybe give this to you. That's our 2008. That's that 451 from then too. But I really do. I think it came
Jeff
off the docket because it was never
affirmed. Does Jeff have a recommendation filled out or completed?
Wait, so the okay.
What?
This says pending further information.
But I don't.
Okay.
Because I don't see it on
it's
our list.
It's not on the list. Yeah. Yeah, he told us that they filed the wrong form.
He thinks they should be filing under low-income housing. With the cap rate and all that stuff.
Yeah, okay. He never filed under that. And when I called for guidance, they said 451, which I thought was okay,
that's
too.
That's filed through the state. That's not filed through
us. Oh, okay.
The 451 is filed.
451 is not the state. Low-income housing, that's
policy
state, that's not
voluntary. Right, but that's the one we had historically filed for.
There is a 451 low housing?
No, it's through the state, they filed for cap rate.
Okay.
Let's see. So that's just the one we had filed before, and then I have a 501c3 information if you guys want it. I'm not for sure if you do. Because again, we meet all of the five standards for it, but I do have the 501c3 for our organization, and we also file taxes with the tax exemption as well.
Okay.
So, I don't know, any other documents that I could provide before we make a decision that would be helpful?
We don't have you on our list.
Oh, okay. So
we don't have
you. So,
yeah. So, how do I get on the list?
Talk to Jeff first.
Okay.
And see what you guys can get worked out, see what his recommendation is, because his recommendation was
that they needed to file as low as the possible state.
Okay.
Yeah, we've never been guided to do that before, so that's not how it is.
Because we can't make an approval or denial.
Because we're not
today.
Okay. Understood, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I'm sure. One
is the top. This one is
mine.
Okay. Thank you. So do we know what the deadline is? Am I going to be, I mean, I have to talk to him, I guess, but because I already filed it, is it going to be put out for the whole year then again, or?
Can she still get filings done?
I don't know what the state, I don't have any idea.
The 451.
451
can be accepted, yeah.
Yeah, it's on
time. Okay. And that one was done, so then I'm okay on that one at least. Okay.
Yeah, obviously.
I just follow him.
Yeah.
And he's not back until whatever.
Okay. With what we have heard so far.
Thank you.
Yep. I think, I guess my opinion is to have the people that have
the previous denials. The Eagles, First Lutheran, Glad Tidings, Primera Iglesia, and the United Methodist Church. I guess I'd be the opinion that we would table making a decision on that until after they can speak to the assessor's office further.
Mm-hmm. And give us time to do a little more due diligence, too.
Yeah.
What do you think on that, Larry? Okay. My motion then will be to accept.
The public hearing is still open.
Oh. Sorry, Joan. Sorry, Joan. So what can I say?
We need to still hear VSL.
Yeah, I just wanted to at least get the people out of here that haven't been heard already.
Okay.
Can
we the public
can we do a two different
close
motions?
Close it and then open it back up.
Mm-hmm. No?
Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and we can continue on. Know that the information that we've gotten from you, we'll look into a little bit further and deal with later on. But we still have one that we're going to hear, and you're welcome to stay if you want. But if you, nothing's going to be decided today, so we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, ESL, you're up. I will.
Talk about an exclusive.
Okay. 402. So difficult. I didn't have to do the whole one thing for the other call.
This is right down the street.
The big city.
Good afternoon, McGill Law Firm.
Hi, this is Kevin Rohde with the Dakota County Board of Equalization. I'm calling for an Aaron Roback on a VSL hearing.
Okay, one moment.
Hi, Aaron. This is Kevin Rohde with the Dakota County Board of Commissioners.
Hi, Kevin.
We are getting ready to hear the public hearing on your VSL request.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I guess just let me know when you're ready for me to speak.
Sure.
And if that's now, or if you have some preliminary matters, I guess, to take up first.
Well,
and I'm Carl Bieber. I'm just here in person to represent Better Senior Living. Shelly Wagenberger, the administrator, is on a brief medical leave, had some minor surgery, and just didn't time out for her to be here. But I can help answer any questions. But because last year's application is at Turk now, Aaron might be much more knowledgeable on the whole application and this process again. So,
okay. I think we'll turn it over to you then, Aaron.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, and I want to express my gratitude of allowing me to appear telephonically and avoid the drive up there, so I do appreciate that. And please let me know if you have any difficulty hearing me. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is I just want to set forth in a little bit of detail the basis for our application for tax exemption, and then I'm happy to answer any questions, and as Carl said, he's there as well to answer any questions that any of you may have. So I'll kind of start with that. And also, our application, if you saw, we have, you know, the form application, but then we attach two schedules behind it as well as some underlying documentation and some case law that deals with this area. So Carl has some extra copies with him in the event that you don't have those, and if you need extra copies, Carl can give those to you. And so all of this that I'm going to go through with you is in our application. but I just want to kind of highlight the key pieces.
Sure.
Do you all have a copy? Have you all received a copy of that application?
We've got copies right here from Carl.
I've got one more that has some of my handwriting on it.
Oh. You
can have that too.
Oh, another one. Trust that. Oh, no. Close to you, Larry. Okay. Okay, yes, we've got them here, Aaron.
Okay, well, so there's a lot of detail in there, so I'll try to hit on the highlights to hopefully help you as you work through that. But Heritage of Emerson, which is owned by VSL Emerson LLC, is a nursing home facility that's owned by Better Senior Living. Better Senior Living is the sole member of VSL Emerson LLC. Better Senior Living is a nonprofit corporation that has been recognized as a charitable organization exempt from taxation under Section 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code. In Nebraska, which cases are cited to in our application, and two of the more relevant cases that deal with a nursing home and an assisted living facility in Nebraska, those are Nebraska Supreme Court cases, are attached to our application. And those cases apply the Nebraska Revised Statute 77-202, which details when an organization is entitled to tax exemption. And interpreting that statute, those two Nebraska cases, and there's an earlier case as well, but those cases explain when a nursing home or an assisted living facility that's owned by a nonprofit corporation can be entitled to tax exemption. And those Nebraska Supreme Court cases are also codified in the Nebraska Administrative Code. So if we look at Nebraska Administrative Code and those cases, there's really five criteria that must be met for a nursing home to be entitled to tax exemption under the laws of the state of Nebraska. One, we'll walk through those with you. So one is ownership by a charitable organization. And as you'll see, it's detailed in the organizational documents for Better Senior Living and VSL Emerson that VSL Emerson, or Heritage of Emerson, as a CDA, is a charitable organization. Under the law, a nursing home is considered a charitable organization because it's providing medical, physical, social care to the elderly, and that has been determined under Nebraska law to be a charitable purpose. So that test is met. Number two, and this is, I think, one that some of the counties have struggled with a bit, is there any financial gain or profit? And what the law is talking about with respect to financial gain or profit is whether or not there's any part of income from the property that's distributed to any owner, user, member, or other private person. And that's the major distinction between a for-profit corporation and a nonprofit corporation. As a nonprofit corporation, Better Senior Living and VSL Emerson cannot distribute any amount to an owner or private person. There, because it's a nonprofit, there are no shareholders. So if there would happen to be any excess revenue over expenses, there would be no distributions to shareholders or dividends paid out. All that money, because it's a nonprofit corporation, has to go back to the facility to be used toward the charitable purpose of the organization, which is to provide care to the elderly residents. That's the major distinction between the for-profit and non-profit nursing homes. If Better Senior Living was a for-profit corporation, if it was making money in excess of expenses, it could have distributions to shareholders. But Better Senior Living, being a non-profit corporation, cannot do that. And that's one of the big things that the IRS looks at on a yearly basis to confirm that they're entitled to their 501c status and to maintain that status, but there are no distributions. And here, as I'll talk about a little bit, since becoming a nonprofit, CSL Emerson has not had any excess revenue over expenses. It's losing money due to the cost of care for residents and the amount that it receives in reimbursement for Medicaid. So there isn't any excess revenue. But if there was, it would go back into the facility. So that's number two of the test. And then number three is there can't be any alcohol sales. It's a nursing home. They don't have any alcohol sales. I don't think that's an issue. Number four is there can't be any discrimination in membership or employment. I don't think that's an issue either. Better Senior Living is proud of its policies on no discrimination. It doesn't discriminate in membership or employment. And then the fifth criteria to be met is that it has to be exclusively used for charitable purposes. And this is another, I think, criteria that some of the counties have struggled with. And this is kind of what the cases really talk about, is this exclusivity purpose. And it has to be the predominant purpose. And what the cases talk about and the regulations that talk about with respect to a nursing home talk about what does it mean to be predominantly used for a charitable purpose. And what they said is that organization cannot pre-screen applicants for financial ability. The criteria for admission is the need for health care due to age, ill health, or physical disability. The facility meets the definition of a health care facility, and residents are permitted to remain in the facility regardless of ability to pay. And Heritage of Emerson meets each of those criteria. One, there is no pre-screening financial ability. Now, if a resident has the ability to pay for care, they are charged for that care. However, if they do not have the ability to pay, the facility works with the resident to get on Medicaid and then helps subsidize the cost of care. And sometimes there is a lag between getting on Medicaid, and that's when the facility is helping these residents when they're in that situation. And so if there is any financial information that's requested, it's not to pre-screen, but it's to assist with the Medicaid planning to know when that resident is going to be eligible for Medicaid so that they can help them with that process. But they are not discharging residents who become unable to pay, and they are not restricting admission based upon that ability to pay. If included with the application was a financial statement that shows for the fiscal year, CSL Emerson ends in June. So you have the information from June 2018 and June 2019, and the fiscal year is not done for 2020. But that shows that as of June 30th, 2019, there are 21 of 31 residents that are on Medicaid. And so that is 68% of its residents are on Medicaid. And what that means is that the facility is losing money on each of those Medicaid residents. And if you see it, well, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but when you do look at it, you'll see that the facility is covering the cost to subsidize the care for those residents in the tune of over $200,000. And so that kind of walks through each of the requirements. I think, you know, the biggest, concern has been the no financial gain or profit and the exclusivity, but If you read the cases, you'll see that Heritage Emerson is operating similarly to the nursing homes and assisted living facilities who've been granted tax exemption previously in Nebraska. And with respect to the applications that we filed last year and this year, we've received tax exemption for all other Nebraska facilities. There's one new facility that's in Buffalo County that we applied for just this year and have the hearing tomorrow on that one, but the county assessor has recommended approval for that facility as well, and that's a nursing home and assisted living facility. And so, having met the requirements under the law, we're respectfully asking that the board approve the exemption application for VSL Emerson. Like I said, I know I kind of went through a lot, so I'm happy to answer any questions or provide any additional information to you may. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Aaron. Does anyone have any questions for Aaron?
So if you're operating at a loss, I'm trying to figure out yeah. Figuring out how you're keeping the doors open in general, maybe.
Well, right. I mean, there is, and Carl, I don't know if you can speak to that better than I can.
If there are facilities that are making a profit, are basically subsidizing the ones that aren't.
Would that help? Okay,
yeah.
So the system.
Yeah.
The system.
Yeah.
And that goes
it says with power and numbers kind of thing. We've got some facilities that are doing much better at this point.
If there is excess, then it goes to support either that facility or other facilities. But it all goes to the charitable purpose of the organization. And one of the cases that is included with our application actually talks about how this was for Bethesda, and they also operate assisted living facilities. It used to be nursing homes, but that's exactly what they do. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, that's consistent with the charitable purpose of providing care to the elderly.
Okay. Do we have any other questions?
I don't have one.
Okay. I don't believe we have any other questions, Aaron.
Okay.
So, thank you for taking our call today.
All right. Well, like I said, thank you very much for allowing me to appear on the telephone. I appreciate it.
Sure, of course.
Okay. All right.
You have a good day now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add?
I don't.
Okay. Okay. So, we are going to close public hearing. And what was that?
253.
At 253. So we will move on to new business B, tax exemption on real and personal property by qualifying organizations. The board shall consider the recommendation of the county assessor and any other information it may obtain from public testimony and shall grant or withhold tax exemption for the real property or tangible personal property on the basis of law and of regulations promulgated by the tax commissioner. So I will make a motion to accept the assessor recommendations and we will continue the assessor denials and partial denials. Was that clear?
No.
Accept the assessor recommendation.
And the approval.
Approval recommendations.
Okay. Maybe vote on that.
Vote on the approval ones.
We're going to do two motions. Okay. Well, that will be my motion to accept the assessor approval recommendations.
I can second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony? Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Motion to continue the assessor denials and approval of portions.
I'd second that.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony? Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll move on to C. Jeff Curry, and he is here, not here, excuse me, so Christy will come up, requesting the board approval of tax list corrections. All right. Thank you, Carl. Yep, you too. All right, what do you got for us?
First one is Leslie and Twyla Petak. They applied for homestead in 18. State gave them 100%. They did not get transferred over to the MIPS system to the treasurer, so we had to do the correction.
Okay, so that's pretty straightforward. Yeah. Just didn't get transferred.
Yep.
Okay.
Second one is Bell Fury. That was a Turk decision on a case, so they don't have a choice on that one.
Which?
Bell Fury.
Oh, okay. And the Turk ruled to lower it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And then I have Melody Cole. Mobile home is being torn down and taken out of the park, so we accelerated the taxes for 2020.
Okay.
And that is the same thing for Wendy Thor also.
Okay. I think those are pretty straightforward. So I will make a motion to accept the tax list corrections.
I'll second that.
All right. Thank you.
Accepting the approval recommendation, is that what you're saying? You're approving now?
Okay. Yes. Okay. Make a motion to approve the tax list corrections.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Jana?
Yes.
Mark?
Yep.
Thank you, Christy. A lot less painful than that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll move on to mail and or emergency business. Which appears we have none. We'll have public comment. Which there is no more public comment. So we will adjourn at 2:58.
Thanks,
okay,
Kevin.
Thank you, everybody.
Good job, Kevin.
Recess?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So.
Okay, what time?
Melanie.
Okay.
1:41.
1:41. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I have in my notes. Okay. Yep, now we'll go ahead and reconvene back to our Board of Commissioners meeting and contact our insurance people.
I'm going to do this correctly.
Here's the number.
Pressure's on. 3 5 7 9 8 3 8 4.
I was hitting the 9 button. It wasn't. Maybe I don't know how to push the buttons correctly.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Hi, this is Kevin with the Dakota County Board of Commissioners again.
Kevin, this is Amy.
Yes, Amy. We've got some questions for you.
Okay.
I will let Janet take
okay,
over.
Okay, I was looking at that letter that was sent, Amy, that had two agreements that we were supposed to sign off on.
Yes.
And it says something about a network service agreement or customer agreement. But then when you look at the attachment, there's two agreements. One's called a network service agreement. The other one is called Cigna Life Source Network Access Payer Access Agreement. Which seems to, I can't even figure out why this one is in here. And then you look at item number 5 on that, and it talks about Exhibit 2 Schedule D and about the agreement of network fees, and all this relates to transplants. And I'm trying to figure out where that even comes from in this.
Part of what you get with the Cigna network is a transplant network, which is a very specialized network that's in the best interest of the county to use. If we weren't using it through Cigna, we would have to employ a transplant network through the stop-loss carrier. You don't want somebody just going in for a transplant that is not very carefully coordinated as far as services and fees without using a transplant network.
I guess I don't recall even talking about this when we were going through this packet of material when you were here.
About the transplant network?
Yeah.
It's just a routine part of having a self-funded plan is that you have a transplant network in place.
Okay, maybe it is. I guess I'm not familiar with that. Sorry.
There would be no reason why you would be necessarily. It's just something that we've always had in place. at Dakota County.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to come with the Cygnus PO, and when you, with Midland's Choice, the transplant network was separate, and now it's all included within one network, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But it says plan sponsor shall provide funding for such fee payments by the company in a timely manner. And it talks about this in accordance with Exhibit 2 and Schedule D. What is Exhibit 2, Schedule D, that we are supposed to be providing that's specific to this?
Right.
This just seems kind of like an add-on that, I mean, I guess I'm unfamiliar with this.
That's what I'm seeing in there is that the transplant agreement is really between Group Resources and Cigna. And so the ASA and all of those exhibits
mm-hmm.
that they're referring to in the transplant network is an agreement between Group Resources and Cigna. And it deals with things such as Group Resources sends Cigna a data dump of eligibility. And so one of the things that this agreement refers to is that if we tell them that a member is covered under the Dakota County plan and they go ahead and start working up, you know, network services for a transplant, obviously the only time it's going to come into play is if somebody is getting a transplant, that we're going to give them accurate information about who's eligible and who is not. It's things like that. And then there's a case rate, much like large case management. If you have somebody that has a high dollar diagnosis that is going to, you know, cause high dollar claims, we have case management follow that person, both for the member and the plan, so that we know what's going on, when it's going on, and we're certain that services are coordinated and there's not duplication of services, that they are appropriate and all of those things. And you pay a case rate for those types of services. And that's what they're alluding to in here. But the agreement and all of the exhibits and schedules are an administrative services agreement between Group Resources and Cigna. And those contain proprietary information. It's possible that Cigna would let us release that to you, but like they have case rates for all different kinds of transplants, and that's all proprietary information, where they would not want everybody to have access to what that rate is, because they go in and negotiate those with providers, and it's not something that is a matter of public record, so to speak.
I kind of understand the privacy part of it, but I mean, I kind of was, last year as we dealt with this laser, that's my first time I've ever even heard of a laser situation. And item number four, right above number five, it says that plan sponsor, who is us, acknowledges that donor services, other blah, 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 may be limited or carved out, and the full negotiated price shall be paid per the terms of purchasing participating provider agreement. I guess I'm trying to verify, is this another laser carve-out that we're going to be, I'm trying to figure out how this all works. If we're working with an insurer, why do we have all these carve-outs and extra fees?
This is nothing like a laser.
Okay.
A transplant network only works to the benefit of the plan. If we didn't put a transplant network in place
mm-hmm.
and somebody went in for a transplant, as long as that provider was a PPO provider, and we didn't have a transplant network in place, we would not be able to coordinate all of these things and negotiate case rates for that specific transplant, which would cost you more money. So the transplant network being in place does nothing but protect the county from paying a higher fee than they would if we were not utilizing a special network for transplants only.
Okay.
And so basically what they're going to do is they're going to negotiate everything they can within that whole transplant process to make sure that the county is getting the lowest price and the member is getting the best possible care. And that's all it is.
Okay. So this schedule that I don't really need to worry about that because it's, in essence, it's not an additional fee or extra fees.
Correct. The
okay.
schedule is not. The schedule is basically just if somebody's going to have a kidney transplant and they go to one of our life source providers, there's a case rate for that of $50,000. and it includes everything, let's say. That's what the schedule is. And so that is not something that, I mean, they may choose not to release that. I have no idea.
Yeah, I just noticed it said plan sponsors shall provide for the compensation of transplant network access fees, and I didn't. So that's not extra over and above what we're already paying.
It is extra because it's like a case rate. It would be no different than somebody that goes in for case management. There is a case rate that is applied to that, like $110 an hour. It's nothing that you're not paying now.
Okay.
It's not an additional charge or potential fee from anything that you're paying today or last year or the year before. We've always had a transplant network in place for the plan.
All right. I guess I just don't remember seeing it last year, and that was my first year was last year, so maybe.
No, I understand. And usually as part of the stop-loss contract, usually it was never part of the Midlands Choice contract. But Cigna runs everything in together, which is good, because it's not two completely separate entities trying to negotiate the transplant stuff, meaning the carrier and the PPO. Now it's all being done through the PPO.
Okay.
That's probably more efficient that way.
So we implemented this high dollar prescription thing, so this to limit our liability there, and this will also limit liability as well, is what you're saying.
Yes. Okay. If you wanted to fly solo without a transplant network in place, mm-hmm. I guarantee you anybody going in for a transplant would cost the county more money mm-hmm. than it will be to have a transplanted network in place where all of those fees and stuff are negotiated by Cigna
up front.
For which you may pay a small fee for their caseworker to work on that transplant, but it is worth every single penny.
So it's a limiting our liability is what it is.
Yeah,
Doesn't mention it as a specific. I thought maybe they'd attached the wrong contract, to be honest with you, because it didn't mention that contract. And it was,
sure.
And it was added in here.
Amy.
Yes.
Martin Hohenstein here.
Hi.
Hey, have we sent our mailings out to our people that are affected by the new things that we enacted?
We are just getting ready to send those out.
Because it is going, you know, whenever there's a change, it goes through a building like wildfire. So now people that are affected, I'm sure, are wondering. So I'd appreciate that sooner than later.
Absolutely. Yep, I've already talked to a couple of them, as a matter of fact.
Okay, very good.
Yep.
Anybody else got anything?
That prescription drug thing?
Yep.
Are we just going to go ahead and proceed with it costing the employee more money and violate at least the contract that we have with the road department?
So it's to be determined for prescriptions.
I don't think it's violating it according to what we've looked at in our...
It does.
That sheet says single prescription for 2020 and family is both TBD, to be determined.
Oh, so we don't even know.
That's in all the
Yep, that's that attachment that everyone wanted. Yep.
And doesn't put a maximum on it?
I will wait.
Walk us through that little again. I sent you an email asking for some scenarios or examples because I'm getting... So if somebody had a prescription that cost $500 in March, they would pay 20% of that cost?
After the deductible.
So they would pay $1,000?
Yes.
Plus 20% of the $500?
Yes.
Okay, that was Randy's question. When I go to pick up my meds, do I have to come up with $1,000?
Yes, he would.
Okay.
Immediately?
The first $1,000?
The first $1,000, yes.
But then he maxes out
every time. Then every time he goes, he pays
20%
of the $500.
And then 20% of the cost.
Yeah, 20%.
Of the prescription.
Assuming it was $500.
$500 or more.
If it's $500 or more, then they pay 20% of the cost of the drug.
And at some point...
They hit a maximum of $10,000, right?
Correct.
And then what happens?
And then then 100% of it's covered?
Yes.
So their out-of-pocket is $10,000?
No, no, their out-of-pocket is not $10,000. We pay a maximum of $10,000.
We pay a maximum of $10,000. Yes. Maximum per
person. So they will always pay, once the deductible's met, they'll pay 20% of the cost of that drug the entire year. It'll never max out.
So maximum per person per plan year isn't maximum. Maximum cash out of your—it's maximum
we're
that
not
we cover.
Maximum that the plan will pay.
So we're not paying the first $10,000. It for anybody that has a okay.
So
a prescription that is $500 or more when they go in March.
They're going to pay $100.
They're going to pay $1,000 plus 20% of the cost.
Correct. Correct.
But if it's a $600 medication, they'll pay that until they meet that $1,000 threshold.
Right. The deductible applies for the same as on your medical plan. So if they're taking a $600 drug, it's one per month. Month one, they go in, they pay $600. Month two, they go in, they pay $400 to get to the $1,000 deductible, and then they pay 20%.
Of the balance.
Of the $200.
Yeah.
Correct. But they will pay that. It never maxes out for them.
Mm-hmm.
It only maxes out for the county, I believe. Hold on, I'm looking for my papers.
Okay.
So if they've got a $20,000 a month pill, they pay $1,000, 20%.
Of the 19.
Then they've already met their 10,000.
No. They don't meet anything. She's saying they pay that 20% of that cost.
But they've hit that 10,000.
The county's
hit that 10,000.
The county, they have to pay all. They have a $10,000 drug. They have to.
So the county
90,
makes up.
No.
The insured does.
Where does it? How does the county pay $10,000 of their cost?
Up to $10,000. So depending on how many over $500 drugs the member takes, the county is paying the other 80% of that medication up until the county has paid out $10,000 for all of the drugs for that member, at which case the member assumes all of the responsibility for their medication.
So
after the $10,000, an employee can get paid large sum.
So for example, we've got that a $30,000 a month prescription. The employee is going to pick up anything after $10,000. So month one, they've got $20,000 they've got to come up with.
If they're taking a, what did you say, $30,000 drug?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know about 30, but my son-in-law costs him over $6,000 for every 3 months. That's $2,000 a month. Of course, he don't work for county, but at that rate, that's $2,000 a month. You know, he'd be pretty good if we were paying the first $10,000. He'd still be in pretty good shape, but mm-hmm. anything more than that wouldn't be good.
That's not
months.
How it is.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking it was the maximum out of pocket from a person would be $10,000, but that's.
Mm-hmm. That's still a lot of money.
It's still a lot of money, but if you think somebody has like a major surgery or something, they probably have,
Well, a major surgery.
Not surgery, it's just prescription.
It's just prescription.
Just prescriptions, okay.
And it wouldn't be like if somebody's. I might be wrong, Amy, but if you're in a cycle of care for, say, cancer, is that part of the medical treatment plan, or do they take the prescription out of that and do it?
Typically, the chemotherapy drugs are going to run through on the medical side, not on the prescription side. These are only basically retail and mail order prescriptions that you're picking up at a pharmacy.
Yeah.
At a pharmacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So the maximum benefit for people taking high-cost drugs is $10,000. That's the most the plan will pay in a calendar year.
How many employees do we have
that are over that parameter?
You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. You have 10 employees that in the last 8 months have taken drugs that cost over $500.
Okay. Now, how many employees
Actually, you have 11. Excuse me.
Okay, so that's higher than our 6 or 7 we had before. And our $10,000 employees, how many of those do we have that are going to have to pay over the county 10,000 portion?
Without figuring out, I mean, I have dollar amounts on all of these people. I don't think it's going to go over 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 9 months worth of prescriptions. You have potentially 3 based on prescriptions that have been filled through January.
That are going to be over the 10,000 threshold.
That are going to be over the 10,000. Potentially. You know, I have a member taking a $2,500 drug every month. I have another member taking a $5,500 drug, but it's on the last 9 months when I went through every prescription that ran through on Welldyne's invoices. It's only on there one time. So I don't know if it was a one-time dose of a drug or if that was a six-month prescription of it or what the case is. It shows up one time in the course of 9 months.
Okay. I don't think I have any other questions then.
I don't.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Amy.
Yep, you're welcome.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
I guess that was my understanding last week. That's why, you know, I said that's the hardest decision that I've had to make since I've been here because, you know, that's the way I understood it, that people are going to, you know, people that are in that situation that have the high-priced drug, it is going to be tremendously difficult for them. And hopefully their doctors, that's why I would like them to get that information sooner than later so they can talk to their doctors about different plans of treatment and different possible, because I know that some of those are available. So it's a terrible spot.
Gloria will fix her. Yeah. Need medication.
Bernie. Oh.
I just
he's talking Gil.
Bernie Gil. It just seems like it's a. I don't know. It just seems like this seems. Like I said, we're carving out, and when you're in a group plan, that's the whole principle of a group plan.
I know,
so it just seems weird that you're carving out people out of your group plan.
And I think it's probably different, too, if you work at GM and you have 30,000 employees, or you work for Dakota County where you have 100 employees, but when one person can make such an impact.
Aren't we part of a network, though? Isn't that why we're with the Cigna group?
No.
We're not part of a
network? No, we're self-insured to the first. Mm-hmm. We're Dakota County self-insured. The first, 35,000 each individual person. So everybody that worked for the county had bills that were $35,000. Dakota County would pay 100% of $35,000 for every employee. $3.5 million.
I was just still thinking when you buy into one of these, you're buying into a huge network. Cigna doesn't just have Dakota County. They should have fixed and, you know.
And we can be, you know, if we want to get out to Blue Cross Blue Shield, which is all the counties in Nebraska as a group. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, but their costs are higher than what they're paying, and their co-pays and their deductibles are.
But it's something that definitely something next year we need to look at. We need to look at every possible option under the sun.
I think we should have them bid next year.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, just
and get in a group of employees involved in kind of the so they're aware.
I've been real happy with them. Of course, I have Medicare, but.
Mm-hmm.
Cost my wife and I about $9,000, I think, in a year. But we got the Cadillac plan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I had a transplant yet, so I don't know for sure, but, you know.
All right, so all we have left is mail and emergency business?
No, we have to make a motion. Okay, we have to make a
oath to sign that thing. Where is that?
Number B hasn't been addressed.
Okay, board to approve chair to sign the Cigna Network Service Agreement for renewal of County Health Benefit Plan.
I guess I can make that motion.
And that includes Cigna and the prescription.
Yeah, it's all part of the plan.
That prescription thing you approved last meeting.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
Was there a second?
I'll second it.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. And no mail or emergency business? All right. We're going to go ahead and adjourn.